Hey, it's the Body Bishops.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Alan.
You all right, man?
Yeah, low. We are still in the church. Church building.
Binge recording once again. So I was just telling you, I got a little, well, I don't know if it's called a subscription because you don't pay any money and then they come and you don't have to pay them, but unless you buy something, but Rington's tea from the northeast of England. Victoria's from the north and her family used to drink Rington's and eat Rington's biscuits. So someone actually sent us as like a housewarming present some Rington's stuff and we've been drinking their tea and eating their biscuits and I thought, it'd be nice like if Victoria knew that every, you know, once a month the wee Rington's van was coming and giving us tea and biscuits. So I phoned them today and got all organized.
Awesome,
so it's not as good as Punjana tea, but happy life and all that.
Not much is as good as Punjana, yeah.
It's all right.
But by the way, both Costa from last episode and Punjana from this episode. I mean, you could sponsor us.
Yeah, and Rington's, you know.
Rington's, yeah.
Send
yeah.
us. Anyone wants to see...
You need to get on this train before it takes off, okay?
Yeah, man.
Because...
Yeah.
We're going to be huge, man.
Yeah. Tea, coffee, and biscuits, send them our way. Or anyone who's just listening and says, you know what? Want to send a pack of biscuits. What's your favorite biscuit? Yep. British biscuit, Matt?
My favorite British biscuit? Probably those Fox's ginger creams.
Oh, they're nice. Yeah.
Those are really nice. Yeah. It's either that or Jaffa Cakes.
Jaffa Cakes.
I like Jaffa Cakes.
Mm. I just like a McVitie's or a chocolate hobnob. Just a proper biscuit, you know. To be fair, shout out to Rington's once again. They do some amazing biscuits, man. Yeah. And it's really hard to not eat the whole packet. Mm. So,
Speaking of binging, Jaffa Cakes, I eat them by the sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
So... I don't even buy them anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem, man. So flippant, Chris Way comes to my house. We've been eating really healthy we haven't, but like we've been trying to eat really well, like, and not eat too much and stuff like that and look after things. And then Chris comes with like a big thing of sourdough bread and this pretentious olive oil from London, right? It's like a house thing present. And we're eating it at like 9 o'clock at night and then we're having salmon for breakfast and now he's gone and I was at Morrison's yesterday getting something for tea. I'm like, well, I'll just get myself a cheeky sourdough bread. So now we're back to eating. Now we're back to eating bread, for goodness sake. So thanks a lot, Chris.
That's funny. Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks. Huh?
Yeah. It is delicious. Man, bread's so good. Bread's so good.
It is.
Let's talk about the bread of life. Let's talk about Christ and the gospel. Second John.
Please.
So we're in Second John, gospel community, and John's writing to a church. Well, we believe it's a church, right?
So it's a different premise and different approach that he takes to this one from the first epistle and everything. So from the very, very beginning, you know, we're like, okay, we're trying to figure out what the premise of it is.
So he, this elect lady, so we think it's a church. Some people think it's just a woman. That's fine. You can have that view by all means. But
you can be wrong if you want. I'm kidding.
But he's writing to this church or this woman that has false teachers coming in, teaching heresy about the person of Jesus. He wants them to hold to the truth of who Jesus is. But what we see in this epistle, and it's so beautiful, is that gospel truth and gospel love are inseparable.
Inseparable.
All right. So even though he's writing to them and saying, hold to the truth, don't have anything to do with these heretics, gospel truth and gospel love are inseparable. So love and truth in verse 1 to verse 3, what are some things that are coming out there for us?
Well, I mean, I think he says, whom I love in the truth.
Yeah.
So the love comes from the truth. The truth is in the love. So those truly...
So tongue twister time, right?
Yeah. Those truly in the truth truly love all those who are truly in the truth.
Right. That's what for, like, well, you know, I love you in the truth, but not only do I love you in the truth, but also all those who have known the truth love you as well.
Yep.
So there's this, because you're in the truth and I'm in the truth, I love you. And so, yeah, those truly in the truth truly love all those others who are truly in the truth. If you're in the truth and the truth being the gospel, right? If you're in the gospel, you will love.
Yeah. I won't name any names, but I got a text from somebody this morning.
Yeah.
And I just said, praying for you today, I love you, and more importantly, God loves you.
Yeah, and that's it, man. Yeah. Isn't it? That's, I'm loved by God. I love God. I'm in the truth. I love you. It's just this beautiful relationship. Mm. Verse 2, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. So because the truth isn't just a bunch of facts, right? The truth abides in us.
Yeah.
There's that means it's a person, right? There's this person who lives inside of us and will be with us forever, the person of God.
Yeah.
In the person of Jesus Christ. So he lives in us now, he'll be with us forever, and he is love, right? God is love.
He's love defined, yeah.
So this truth, this person is in each of us, which then connects each of us to him and to one another.
Yeah, he's love, so he's love personified, he's love revealed, he's love defined, but like it's more than that. He is love.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So love comes from him because he's the source of it.
He's not just loving, he is love.
Yeah.
So in trust in Christ, you and I have become intimately connected to the source of truth and the source of love.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to make a profound impact in the relationships
we have. It will change things, won't it? It will change both our actions toward each other, but our attitudes in doing those actions toward each other as well.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, since we recorded the last podcast and you talked about that current, and that's been on my mind a lot, actually, since you shared it. And I was like, man, I'm connected to the source of truth and love. How can I live like different? How can I not live like that's true? How can I live like everything's the same as it was before that day?
You know? Live like the circuit is broken.
Yeah, man. Verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in what? In truth and love.
Yeah.
So grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Son come to us in truth and love. John, once again, he's emphasizing the deep connection between truth and love. Truth, we have to get this right, guys. Truth, I'm just talking to you, guy over there. Truth is not cold and personal.
I'm like looking around like,
hey, guy.
Is there someone else here? Someone hiding behind row one here?
So yeah, truth is not cold and personal facts, right?
Yeah. If mere facts were enough, the Pharisees would have been righteous.
Man.
You know what I mean? Because they were experts in the law.
Man, yeah. And truth is not just a collection of doctrine and systematic theology.
Mm-hmm.
It's not less than doctrine and systematic theology. Paulson's been teaching me to say that a lot. But it's more than that. So it is doctrine, it is systematic theology, but it's more than that. The source of truth is God himself,
who's also
the source of love, and who's also the source of grace, mercy, and peace. And so because Christ abides in us now, as we looked at in verse 2, then I and you and every other brother and sister in Christ have a lifelong provision of grace, mercy, and peace.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Amazing. A lifelong provision. So from start to finish, God gives us just this incessant flow of grace, mercy, and peace.
Yeah, it means we've been asking for a lifelong provision of tea and biscuits from
all
these companies.
We might get it.
But we might not.
We might be let down.
We know we have it.
God won't let us down.
Absolutely, man. Because Christ abides in me, I have this lifelong provision.
Yeah.
So again, love is connected to truth. Truth is connected to love. You can't truly have one without the other.
Yeah, yeah. So they're common graces. Okay, so here's the thing. An unsaved husband can love his unsaved wife.
Mm.
An unsaved wife can love her unsaved husband.
Mm.
We'd be daft to say that's not possible.
Right,
that's one of the common graces that God gives us. But
if
we're talking about experiencing love the way that God intended for us to experience it,
it
is never disconnected from the truth.
Yeah, man.
And the truth is never disconnected from love.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus talks about that, doesn't he? He's like, if you love those who welcome you and those who love you, you're just like the nations. Mm-hmm. You're just like an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
So believers are different. We love the ones who are hard to love, the unlovely, the ones who've made life difficult for us.
Mm.
So when you're connected to God, you have both truth and love. And when you have truth and love, you are a recipient of grace, mercy, and peace from God.
Mm.
You get truth, you get the gospel, you get all of this
as well.
That's
it. Yeah, yeah. So love without truth. A quote, I think it may have been Oswald Chambers. I think it's who it was. Love without truth is hypocrisy, and truth without love is brutality.
Mm-hmm.
So if we love and it's not rooted in the truth. It's hypocrisy because it's not real love.
Yeah.
With God being the source of love.
Yeah.
But if we seek to have truth and yet exclude love from our behavior and interaction with people, then it's just cold, hard brutality.
That's good, man. Yeah. So love and truth are connected, and then we see that in verse 4 and 6 that John calls this church or this lady to walk in that and to continue walking in it. So verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we've received commandment from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in the truth. What does it mean to walk in the truth? Well, it means just believing the right stuff.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It means making sure that you... you know, have the timeline of eschatology perfect, that everything's in the proper order, you know?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
It wasn't a collection of data, was it?
Yeah, because verse 4 comes immediately before verse 5. So I hear that you're walking in the truth, right?
Yeah.
But then what does it mean to walk in the truth? Verse 5, now I plead with you, Lydia, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we've had from the beginning, that we love one another.
Mm.
Walking in the truth means walking in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful, man.
Which means believing that Jesus is God in the flesh, and it means keeping the beginning commandment, which is to love one another.
Yeah, love one another.
So I walk in the truth. Mm. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Mm. I love the people who also believe that.
Yeah. I think a good point to make on verses 4 and 5 here is that you can have and it's not like eschatology isn't important. Of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have your eschatological timeline in order and still not be walking in the truth.
Man. You can have your ecclesiology.
It can be anything.
You can have all that stuff, man, and not be walking in the truth because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, but you don't love one another.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
So you need both. We need to continue to believe the truth of the gospel, and we need to walk like that's true, which looks like loving one another, which is in verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you've heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So you see that verse, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments.
Yeah.
You should walk in it. And then verse 4 says, you're walking in the truth.
Yeah.
So there it is, that walking in the truth looks like obeying the commandment. What's the commandment?
Love one another.
Yeah. There you go. That's what it means to walk in the truth.
Yeah. So big overview is John says, here's what you need to do. Believe and love. And if you do those two things, then you're walking in the truth.
Yeah. Believe and love. It's all of John's teachings, John's gospel, 1 John. Now we're in 2 John. Believe that Jesus is the Christ and love one another.
Without exception, that's his emphasis.
Yeah. So some other lovely things we're just seeing here. True love rejoices when it sees their brothers and sisters obeying God, because he says, I rejoice greatly.
Yep.
So if I'm, you know, if I truly love you, I'm going to rejoice to see you obeying God, loving God, walking in that way. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say that doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
Because we like to rejoice over our victories.
Yeah.
We like to rejoice whenever we get the pay rise or whatever, you know. But when it happens to someone else, do I allow the truth and love that God's put in me to move me?
That's good,
to
man.
Rejoice just as much for them as I would for myself.
Yeah. To see a brother or sister overcome sin and
overcome
a struggle, or just hear words of truth coming from the lips of someone who's going through something hard.
So
true love rejoices. True love cares about the walk and welfare of brothers and sisters. True love celebrates the victories and growth of brothers and sisters. That's what we're seeing here when he says, I just rejoice to hear this.
I'm not going to name any names, but I was praying with a few guys a few weeks back, and both of them told me as we were praying, this is the first time I've ever done this around anyone else.
Amazing, yeah.
And it brought me to tears. Yeah. I remember thinking, I don't always get this right, by the way, but I remember thinking, this is a sacred moment.
Yeah.
I can't believe that God's allowing me to be here present for this moment where these two brand new believers are praying around someone else for the very first time.
Yeah, praying for the needs of another person and praying. So beautiful, man. And we can rejoice to see that. I mean, you know, I've been getting some text messages in the last week from different people in the church, and it just rejoices your heart to hear where people are at, seeing people love one another. It's, man, it's so good. And yeah, yeah, it's been amazing. We're going to skip down then to the very end of the epistle, because we're not dealing with Second John. We're looking at the principles of gospel community in these epistles.
Yep.
So we'll cover Second John, I think, in 2050.
2059, I think.
We'll be just as bald and hopefully...
Yeah, yeah. We might have been the turkey by then. We might have just true, become yeah. fed up of being yeah. bald and... It might be the hair plug bishops by then.
Yeah. The hair plug bishops. All right, verse 12 to 13. John says goodbye, but more than goodbye. There's some beautiful things here.
Yeah. So verse 12. Sorry, I'm trying to get my bearings back after the...
the picture. Yeah. the locks of...
Yeah. New logo and everything.
I wonder if people could comment and let us know which one would sign... Which one... appears in their minds more mental to see which one of us having like a faux hawk or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. If I'm ever able to grow hair back out, mate,
what would your
I'm going
be?
Full dreadlocks. You know, really? No, I'm going. No, I'm joking.
Mullet? You gonna go? West
No. I'm going a nice faded gentleman's cut. That's what I'm going with. Nice faded from the beard up to the hair. That's nice, what I would man. Do.
Is that your dream?
That's my dream. Oh, I man. Dream of that sometimes.
What a day. If anyone wants to sponsor any company. All right, verse 12 to 13.
All right, verse number 12. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, which is amazing.
Lovely.
That our joy may be full.
Oh, man, what a verse, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, love is not an abstract ideal. It has desires.
Yeah.
I wish to be there with you.
Mm.
It's not passive, it's active. True love longs for one another. You know, when I know, like, you know, we're talking about true love as in gospel-rich love, which is the definition of true love.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember when Victoria and I were engaged and I lived in Bath and she lived in Sunderland, it was COVID, didn't see each other for months. And it's just that longing to see Victoria, you know. Mm. Samuel and Kez, they only live less than an hour from one another, but when they don't get together, you can just see that desire to be together, you know?
Yeah.
And that is love, but there's an even higher love than that, the love of Christ in us for one another.
I'm thinking back to lockdown, actually.
Mm.
And, you know, we did the online, and, you know, regardless of what your view on lockdown was, it wasn't nice for anybody having to be apart and isolated in that way. And I remember when we had the big announcement, big video announcement that we were going to be meeting again.
Beautiful, man.
And the day that we came in here, it was like we still weren't all hugging because of, you know, the pandemic and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was just the joy in everyone to be here together again.
Precious, man.
It was like, I think lockdown affirmed more than ever to me how much I need my church family in my life.
Yeah, you know this, I mean? This face-to-face stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll answer that later. So that's a brother. I'm trying to organize a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I'll call him in a bit. So yeah, true love longs for one another. True love enjoys being with one another. It's not just see you Sunday Christianity. Mm-hmm. True love desires the joy of one another.
Yeah.
So look at that. That our joy may be full. How will it be full? It'll be full through being together, time together.
Think about the implications of this, right? It means that there's a spot in my heart that only your presence can satisfy.
Man.
In some ways, as you're in Christ,
mm-hmm.
As we share in the eternal life of Christ, as we mm-hmm. looked at, right? There's a place in my life, a void that only you can fulfill in the Holy Spirit.
Man, it's meant. Think like so. Jesus says, I'm going to give you my joy, and your joy will be full, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, well, me and Jesus are going to experience, like, just me and Jesus, the individual stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But this verse is saying, us meeting, that's going to bring me full joy. So it's Jesus and us is the fullness of joy.
Yeah, know? That's it, yeah.
We experience Christ together, that's the full joy.
Yeah, and that's, if you remember in 1 John, he actually said that almost in those terms, you know, where the joy of being together, it's the fullness of joy is a gospel community principle.
Man.
It's not an individualistic
principle. That's something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Verse 13, the children of your elect sister greet you, amen. Mm-hmm. So there's a church family. Well, again, we think this is a church rather than an individual lady.
Yeah.
The church family where John is, that's the sister of this church he's writing to. So, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about this then. Other churches are your extended family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're a bit weird. Maybe you've got some weird cousins, but they're still your family. Mm-hmm. Actually, not cousins here. It's your sister, you know. And so we discussed the idea of like how sad then that we're watching conflict and sarcasm and you know, vitriolic nastiness sometimes online over secondary issues when actually you're family.
I know. Yeah. And we're not talking about sarcasm in terms of like good wholesome banter with each other.
Yeah.
We're talking about like demeaning each other and mm-hmm. trying to like, humiliate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no place for that. And we were given the picture of so I love Amanda and my two boys. Amanda's my wife, two boys. That's my immediate family. I see them every day of my life. Mm. I wake up to seeing them. Mm. I'm one of the first people that my children see in the morning. I'm one of the first people that my wife sees in the morning. Mm. And there's a joy in immediate family, just like there's a joy in our local assembly here.
Yeah.
But then there's also a joy that being with my brothers in the States, being with my parents in the States, mm-hmm. and even being with my cousins mm-hmm. in the States. There's a joy that brings because that's my extended family. Mm-hmm. And even though this local church here in Heron Cross is our immediate family.
Yeah.
You know, in Shelton, mm-hmm. we've got people that we fellowship quite often, our extended family.
Dear friends, I mean, we're going to a wedding of, we're going to Kaylee's wedding. We've only known them for a year and a half, and it's like, how beautiful that we're family in mm-hmm. Jesus. That's mm-hmm. that's my extended family over there at Park, man. You know?
That's great.
Yeah, it's really nice, man. So then let's treat other churches who are believing that Jesus is the Christ. Let's treat them like they're family, you know? There's not a competition here. You've always said, man, since I've come here, you've said that one of your things that you say to people is if you can go somewhere else and thrive there in Christ,
exactly,
please go there with no hard feelings from us and we'll bless you as you leave. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've started using that too. I was on the phone to a guy who made a profession of faith. I haven't seen him come along much. I phoned him and said, mate, if there's somewhere where you can grow that isn't here, please go there, man. Like, that's what we want for you. Yeah. So there's no competition. Sad that becomes a reality in mm-hmm. cities. Mm-hmm. I know I used to live that way as if, you know, back when I was up north, it was like other churches are untrustworthy and they're competition. And that's just sad, man. They're my brothers and sisters. They're my family.
Yeah. So. And we're not talking about compromising what we believe to be key teachings of the Bible.
Of course.
But we're talking about those who are in the Son of God, mm-hmm. who belong to Jesus, who've been born again. Mm-hmm. That those are our extended family.
Yeah.
That's our extended family. So the nature of our interaction with them should be distinctly different.
Yeah. It's lovely, man. What we have in common with them is Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's greater than anything that we hold differently from one another. I was just talking to Samuel yesterday over a coffee and he was saying about his prayer trio with Ken and John. And he said, like it's such a misfit, like humanly speaking, you know, nothing else would bring us together like this.
Yeah.
He says, but I loved it and I couldn't wait for the next one. And
that's beautiful.
We're meeting next Monday and I can't wait to meet with my brothers and pray together with them. And man, that's what Jesus does. He unites his people to him and to one another.
Yeah. So. I was actually put this down in my devotional journal a few days ago as I was reading, but though we might have more in common, we might have less in common with some people in the church.
Mm.
What we have in common is more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there might be different personalities that maybe don't mesh quite so well, naturally speaking. Like, we don't have as many common interests outside of the gospel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that which we have in common is more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, absolutely, like, this truth and love thing, man, it's, like, massive.
Beautiful. So there you go. If we are in the truth, we're also in the source of love, and that's going to change everything for us. So,
yeah.
Amen. Thanks for listening to the Baldy Bishops podcast.
If you wish to get a hold of us, you can contact us at baldybishops@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram.
Hey,
do you want to go get it? Okay.
That sounds great. Let's go.